Today we're beginning a new series called Hearing God. And during these next few weeks of just believing God that the Holy Spirit will just help us to learn and to grow and to understand on a deeper level how that God is speaking and how we can hear His voice every day in our life. Now just imagine for a moment if you talk to your children and, you know, they never ever spoke back to you. Now, some of you with teenagers, you don't have to imagine that. You experience that. Ladies, what if you told your husband about your day and you talked to him about the things that concerned you or problems or issues you were dealing with and he just sat there like a bump on a log? That's not good, right? There's going to be trouble. But you know, that is exactly the relationship that a lot of people have with God. They talk to their Heavenly Father, you know, we call it prayer. They talk to Him, but they don't ever hear Him speak to them. And I want you to know this morning, that is not the way that it's supposed to be. That God wants a real relationship with us, not a one-sided relationship, but one where we hear His voice. You know, there's people that believe in Him, they're born again, and they talk to the Lord, but they're not hearing anything. And I just want you to know that our God does speak, and you have to believe that He speaks. Listen, Psalm 115, verses 4 and 5, it says this: "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see." Our God sees, and He hears, and He speaks. We need to know this. Our God is not just some idol that never responds. No, He speaks. The psalmist here, you know, he's drawing a contrast because our God is not like their idols. They're make-believe dead idols. Our God is a living God. Amen. He has eyes that see and He has a mouth that speaks. Glory. We shouldn't pray like we're talking to an idol. No, He hears and He speaks. And chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews is addressing the general assembly and church of the firstborn. That's us. We're the church of the firstborn, right? I mean, if you're a born-again Christian, you're a part of the church of Jesus Christ, okay? So I'm just telling you, He's talking to us. The church of the firstborn, that's us. Jesus' church. Hebrews 12, 25, He says, "See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven." Twice He says it, Him who speaks. It's present tense. It's not just something God used to do. He is a God who speaks. We got to know that. If we want to hear from God, the first thing you have to do is you got to believe that He does speak. As long as you're not really sure about that, you're going to have a hard time ever hearing God speak to you in the busyness and the noise of life. Right. Just to get quiet and hear God speak to you. Man was having difficulty communicating with his wife, and he saw the opportunity. He wanted to kind of give her a hearing test, and so she was sitting facing the other way, and he spoke to her softly from across the room. He said, "Can you hear me?" And no response. So he took a few steps and got a little closer, and he said, "Can you hear me now?" No response. He gets a little closer. "Can you hear me now?" Still no response. Finally, he's right behind her and he says, "Can you hear me now?" And she says, "Yes, for the fourth time, I can hear you." He thought his wife had the problem. He was the one that had the problem. And I just want you to understand, you see, the problem is on our end. Yes, He hears us, and yes, He speaks to us. But are we hearing Him? Since the very beginning, God has been speaking. He created the universe by the words of His mouth. He spoke it all into being. He said it, and it was. But he's always been speaking. And you don't get very far into the Bible until you see it actually recorded that he was speaking to man. It's Genesis chapter 2. I mean, the second chapter of the Bible, God is recorded speaking to man. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, Adam and Eve didn't have any scriptures, right? I mean, I hope you know that. Adam and Eve didn't have any scriptures. How did they know what they were supposed to do and what they were not supposed to do? They had to hear God speak, and God spoke to them. We need to know this. This is how we know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. Yes, we have his word that tells us many things that we're to do and not supposed to do. But even in the details of life, God wants to lead us and guide us. He wants to speak to us and tell us what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. But you know, even after Adam and Eve blew it in the garden, God still speaks to them. He comes looking for them and he says, Adam, where are you? He's hiding in the bushes. Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know where he was. Just in case you didn't know, God, you can't hide from God in the bushes, okay? A lot of people still hide from God or try to hide from God. He knows. He knew exactly where Adam was. I want to address this issue just briefly. The Lord asked Adam several questions. First, he asked him where he was, and then while he's talking to him, he says, who told you you were naked? And then he says, did you eat of the tree I told you not to? And all through the scripture, you'll find times when the Lord asks people questions. Jesus asked people questions. But sometimes people draw the conclusion that the Lord must not know everything or he wouldn't have to ask. It is amazing to me how people can become so simple-minded when it comes to the scripture that they see something and just automatically draw such a wild conclusion. Well, God doesn't know everything. You got to go by the whole counsel of God. And believe me, he knows everything. He knew exactly where Adam was. He knew how Adam knew he was naked. He knew the answer to everything he asked him. Did you eat of the tree I told you not to? He knows. Right. Why did he ask these questions if he already knew? Because he wanted Adam to confess it to him. He wanted to have a conversation with Adam about it. Right. By the way, you come to the New Testament in John 21, and Jesus asked Peter three times. He says, Peter, do you love me? And three times Peter says, yes, I love you. But the third time he says, Lord, you know all things. I mean, Peter, this uneducated fisherman, had been with Jesus long enough to know that Jesus knew everything. He said, you know all things. You know that I love you. Why is Jesus asking him these questions? Listen, anytime that the Lord asks somebody a question, anytime that he asks you a question, believe me, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He asked Peter these questions three times, and each time he said, take care of my sheep. He was telling Peter, this is how you will show your love for me. You will take care of my sheep. But just know this, that God speaks and he hears and he wants to speak into our lives. All through the Bible, you see this. You see, that didn't change after the fall, did it? No, you read about a man named Enoch who walked with God. He had such sweet communion with the Lord, the Bible says, and he was not, for God took him. Now, some people think, oh, that means he died. No, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Enoch never saw death. He had such a fellowship, a relationship with God, that one day the Lord just said, I want you up here with me. Wow. Then you come to a man like Noah, who heard from God that a great flood was coming to destroy all living things on the world. And he heard from God to build this big boat. How did he know? How did he know how to do it? God spoke to him and gave him specific instructions. I want you to hear me. Our God has not changed. He is still the same speaking God. We need to know that. You come to a man like Abraham, where the Lord speaks to him one day and he tells him, I want you to leave your family, your way of life, the land that you've always known. I'm going to take you somewhere different. He says, I'll let you know when we get there. And then he speaks to him and tells him that his descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky. And on and on and on, God speaks to Abraham through his life. He's known as the friend of God. But he hears God speak to him. Then there's Joseph, who heard from God through a dream. And that word from God gave him a hope and a future that one day God would fulfill in his life. Then you got a man like Moses. And God speaks to him on the backside of the desert from a burning bush and tells him to go back and bring his people out of bondage. Moses, this man who was so humble, the Bible says that he spoke to God face to face as a man with his friend. The Lord spoke to and through prophets all through the scripture, but he also spoke to ordinary people all through the scripture. The Lord spoke to a religious Pharisee named Saul on the road to Damascus and turned his life around. We know him, of course, as the Apostle Paul. But God spoke to ordinary believers. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 16. There's a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias was not an apostle. He's just a disciple, a believer. And God spoke clearly to him. You need to understand that this was not something that he would ever have done on his own. In fact, he questioned the Lord about it. I mean, he says, Lord, this is a mean guy. And the Lord told him clearly that he was to do this. But I want you to see how that God uses ordinary people. He speaks to ordinary people. In Acts chapter 10, Peter has this wild vision of all kinds of unclean animals being lowered down on a sheet. And the Lord telling him to rise, kill, and eat. And Peter's like, No, Lord, I've never. But the Lord is preparing him to go to the house of a Gentile and to minister to the gospel to these Gentiles for the first time. So while Peter, well, let's read it, Acts 10, 19, and 20. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Notice, the Spirit said to him. See, Jesus told the disciples, the one who is with you, talking about himself, will be in you, talking about him being in them through the person of the Holy Spirit. And you see, so often, that is how God speaks to us. It is through the Spirit. It is that inward witness on the inside that we know that God has spoken to us. See, Jesus lives in us by His Spirit, and He can speak to us at any time to give us direction, to give us wisdom, to let us know what we're supposed to do in a certain situation. But the Lord, He speaks through his word. He speaks through angels and visions and dreams and prophecies and many other ways. But most of the time, this is how he speaks to us. It's the way he spoke to Peter there. He speaks by his spirit. Not an audible voice, not thoughts popping up in your head, not your feelings, but something deeper. He speaks, and it's all through the Bible. You know, the Lord declares himself, I, the Lord, change not. This will help your theology a whole lot. You want to know God? Then start with some things that he says about himself. And he says, I don't change. Don't try to change him. You see, a lot of people want to change him from a speaking God to a non-speaking God. He used to speak, but he doesn't do that anymore. You can't change God. He still speaks. You can refuse him. You don't have to listen, but he still speaks. Amen. I want to tell you what a part of the issue there is that they want a silent partner. You know what a silent partner does? They provide all the resources, and you get to make all the decisions. I want to tell you, the Lord speaks, and we need his help. We need his guidance and direction every day. Amen. He still speaks, and we need to believe it. We need to know it in our heart. It's one of the ways that we've been created in his image, is that we not only can hear, but we can speak. Now, I know some people, they think their dog can talk. Don't come tell me about your dog after the service. Or I've seen and heard it all. You know, people got their dog and listen. See, did you hear that? He said, I love you. Okay. Listen, I know that some animals can kind of mimic some things, especially some birds. I mean, you know, they can say all kinds of words. They don't even know what words are. I got this sweet dog, and I can say to her, come here, you good-for-nothing, worthless mutt. And she'll just come tail a wagging like crazy. And then I can say, oh, man, you stink. Tail still a wagging. Now, she's actually a pretty smart dog. I mean, she knows and responds to about 14 or 15 different words. But she doesn't know what words are. We just need to understand this is how we're different from the rest of creation. We're the only ones on earth that were created to be able to speak and hear like that, to communicate with the Lord. Man, this crazy religious culture in America today, it's so messed up. I mean, it's more socially acceptable to say, my dog can talk to me, than to say, God talks to me. Who's the crazy one? I'm sorry if you've been telling people your dog talks to you. But I'm just wanting you to know this morning, you got to believe that God will speak to you. Right. We need to know it in our heart. All through the Bible, from cover to cover, God speaks. Spoke to Adam and Eve in Genesis, and he's speaking to John in the book of Revelation. Somehow, the majority of Christians today don't believe that God will speak to them. You can go back through church history. For almost 2,000 years, believers believed that God spoke to them. Great men and women of God throughout history, they've always believed that God spoke to them. It's only been in the last 50 or 60 years that we've seen this shift in the body of Christ, where the majority of Christians today don't even believe that God speaks. There was a time in America when the average American believed that God spoke. You just go back 50, 60 years ago. Let me just give you an example. In 1912, there was a beautiful song written called In the Garden. Some of you know it. But the chorus says this. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Now I want you to think about this. This was mainstream. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Listen, in the 50s, Roy Rogers and Del Evans recorded it. Tennessee Ernie Ford recorded it. Perry Como recorded it, and many others. And this, it wasn't just church people. Listen to me. These are just Americans who happened to be famous at the time. Doris Day recorded it in the 60s. Elvis Presley recorded it. Willie Nelson recorded it in the 70s, and Johnny Cash recorded it at some point, although they didn't release it until after his death. But it was recorded again and again by famous artists. Why? Because to say, he walks with me and he talks with me was not weird. It was just normal.
That's right.
Realize what has happened. There's so many Christians have been duped by a culture that makes fun of God speaking. They just want him to go away and be quiet. We know better.
Right.
And we need to believe that he speaks. You know, if you don't believe he speaks, it makes it so hard for you to ever hear from God.
Right.
So why don't people think God speaks? Why do Christians have such a hard time believing that God would speak to them? The generation we live in, there's this mindset that anybody that says that God speaks to them is a kook. I mean, only crazy people say, God told me. I want you to understand it. Crazy people drive cars. Anybody say amen to that? I mean, good grief. Crazy, just crazy. On drugs, whatever, I don't know, but they're crazy. You know what? I'm still going to drive a car, even though crazy people drive cars. And nobody says, hey, you shouldn't drive a car because, you know, crazy people drive cars. Yes, there are crazy people that say, God told me. But that's not going to stop me from believing that God can speak to me, a sincere Christian who wants to hear from God and follow God. See, that's crazy that we take that as our cue that we can't hear from God. Because, you know, crazy people say, God told me.
Good word.
There wouldn't be many people on the mission field if God didn't speak. And there'd be a lot less pastors. Although I think some would still be pastors whether they heard from God or not. But he speaks. He speaks through his word. He speaks through angels and visions and dreams and prophets. He even speaks through donkeys sometimes. But most of all, he speaks to us in our spirit. I'm going to say it again, not an audible voice, not just thoughts in your head, and not your feelings. It is something deep down inside in your spirit. It is a knowing. But it is part of the life of a believer, a follower of Jesus. In John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, Jesus says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We have a shepherd, amen? The Lord is my shepherd. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name. Wait a minute, I read it too fast. And the sheep hear his voice. We're his sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Amen.
We're supposed to know his voice.
Right.
He goes before them, and they follow him. You see, he leads us. We're supposed to know his voice so we can follow him. He doesn't drive us like cattle. He leads us. That's why it's so critical that we know his voice. Now, if you're thinking, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but I don't hear. That doesn't mean that you are not one of his sheep. That means that you need to learn to hear. You can know His voice. And that is His preferred method of guiding your life. He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you and guide you. In John 10, 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice." There it is again. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." So how did this become so confusing and controversial? Before I talk about that, I just want to make this very clear. It's not controversial in the Bible. The Scripture makes it clear from cover to cover that God speaks. It's not controversial in the Bible. Do not interpret the Scripture in the light of your experience. Common mistake that people make in interpreting and understanding the Scripture, and they get in error and deception. You interpret your experience in the light of Scripture. I see in the Scripture, "My sheep know My voice. My sheep hear My voice." That's the way it's supposed to be. If I don't know His voice, if I'm not hearing His voice, I need to change my experience. You can't change the Word of God. Why is it so controversial in our culture? First, the secular world has propagated this attitude that anything supernatural is make-believe. It's not real. I mean, anything that requires faith. You know, if you believe in miracles, if you believe God heals people, if you believe He speaks to people, well, you're just not operating in reality. Only crazy people believe that stuff. I mean, intelligent, educated, you know, smart, reasonable people, they don't believe in any of that stuff. It's all phony. And Hollywood depicts anyone who says "the Lord told me" as some kind of weirdo. I mean, it's amazing to me how often TV shows or movies will go out of their way to have some religious person who is a total crackpot. And we don't want to be associated with that. But we need to hear this morning. We can't allow our beliefs to be shaped by an ungodly culture. It is a tool of the enemy to keep us from hearing God in our life and doing what God wants us to do and living in all that God has for us. Second, people have a hard time with God speaking because of dead religion. Dead religion says, well, you know, He used to speak, but He doesn't do that anymore. God has changed. Well, we already talked about that, didn't I? We can't change God, but that's dead religion. It all becomes about the letter of the law. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, "The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." You see, without the Holy Spirit, we can't even begin to understand spiritual truths. You can't really understand the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can study it for decades and still be dead spiritually. It takes the Holy Spirit to help us to truly get a hold of the spiritual truths of the Word of God. The letter, just the word by itself, it kills. But the Spirit gives life. We need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. See, He guides us into truth. You know, you can make the Bible say just about anything. You pull a verse here and a phrase there, just pull them out of context, and you can just kind of make up your own doctrines, your own beliefs. And believe me, there's a lot of people that have done it. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, you see, when we're really listening to God and allowing God to order our steps as we look to the Word of God, oh, what liberty, what freedom, what victory comes as we understand the Word of God. But here's part of the issue with dead religion. It's just more comfortable to say, well, you know, He's given me His Word, and it says do this, and it says don't do that. And so as long as I do this and don't do that, then It's up to me, all the rest of the decisions of life. God has given me a free will to do whatever I want. As long as I live within the confines of God's moral law, I can do whatever I want. I want you to understand that that is not the picture of a follower of Jesus. It's not even the picture of an Old Testament believer that we just do what we want. No, we live our lives to please Him each and every day. It's not just living within the confines of God's moral law. No, we want to follow Him in all of our decisions. See, some people, they don't want a living Lord that messes with their life. It's just safer and more comfortable to believe in a dead religion where God no longer speaks. So I can choose my career. I can choose the spouse that I want. I make all my own choices. The problem with that is a lot of the time we think that we've got it all figured out. We think we're smart. We think we're wise. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, without God speaking to us, without God ordering our steps, we're going to make a mess. How we need the Lord's help each and every day in our life. How we need His guidance so that we don't make foolish decisions. I mean, you know, we can't see down the road. We don't even know, the book of James says, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know what will happen tomorrow.
Right.
He knows what will happen tomorrow. He knows what will happen 10 years from now. And it's crazy to not want God to speak to us and help us make decisions about buying a house, about buying a car, about changing jobs. So many people, they say, oh, I'm upset with my boss. I'm going to change God. I'm going to say it again. That is not the way God speaks.
That's right.
And they leave a good job and they go to a job, it just turns into an absolute stinking disaster. That wasn't God. I'm just telling you, we need the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to lead us and guide us every step of the way. But dead religion always chooses that safer way. You know, we don't want God changing our plans or changing our business, messing up our religion. I want you to know Jesus did all those things when He walked this earth. He changed people's plans. He messed up their business and their religion. And He still does. In John chapter 10, we read where Jesus says His sheep hear His voice, and He talks about that a lot. But in the middle of that passage is John 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. How can we experience this abundant life in full measure? I want to tell you, you got to be led by the shepherd. That's the only way. You can't do it your way. You got to be led by the shepherd.
Amen.
And when we're not led by the shepherd, there's a thief who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. See, a lot of people get all mixed up about this. We got power over all the power of the enemy, not by yourself.
Right.
You got to walk in submission to God. You submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
But we got to be being led by the shepherd if we want to experience all that God has for us. You know, it's just ridiculous to think that the God who loves us so much doesn't want to help us in the choices of life to know which is the right way to go, which one is the right one, which one is the right job. He wants to give you so much more than moral direction. He wants to order your steps. And many times when God speaks, you know, just as we read about Ananias and then about Peter, many times when God speaks, it's going to stretch you. It's going to challenge you. It's not going to line up with your normal way of thinking. He's going to get you out of your box so that you can learn and grow and do more than you ever thought that you could.
Right.
The third reason that hearing God is so controversial, something we've already touched on, but it is simple as this, is that the phrase, "the Lord told me," or "God spoke to me," is so abused by weird religious people. And there's a lot of people, they just don't believe that God speaks because there's phonies that say that.
Right.
In fact, a lot of the time you can know that something is phony because what they're saying doesn't line up with Scripture. And God never, ever contradicts himself. And by the way, sometimes, as I said, they'll have a verse or a phrase that they attach to what they're saying, and it sounds good to people who don't know the Bible, but it doesn't line up with the whole counsel of the Word of God. God never contradicts himself, never, ever. And so whatever God speaks to us or somebody else has to line up with all of Scripture. We need to know that. But sometimes people claim that they've got some special revelation from God, a revelation that supersedes even the Scripture. It's amazing how often there's been some religious person that misleads other people and manipulates other people by claiming that they have special revelation from God that nobody else has. Most of you know this story, or at least a lot of you, I think, will remember it. There was a man named Vernon Howell who was brought up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he prayed and read the Scripture as a young man, but at some point he became dissatisfied with traditional Christianity. He claimed that God was guiding him to a deeper level of spirituality. He joined a radical offshoot of his denomination called the Branch Davidians and assumed the name of David Koresh. Now, some of you recognize that, but he claimed that he was God's appointed messenger, and he led a lot of people astray. In 1993, federal agents raided their compound, and several law enforcement officers were killed that day, and all 83 people inside died. So deceived. Yes, sometimes people say, "God told me," and it's not God at all. And that is one of the reasons that a lot of believers have a hard time believing that God speaks. It's a trick of Satan. You need to know that God does speak. And we need to be humble before the Lord. Always stay humble. I want to tell you that I know that there's been times when I feel like I really missed God. I just allowed my carnal mind and my feelings to get me thinking wrong, heading down the wrong path, thinking it was God when it wasn't. And I just want you to understand that, especially for Spirit-filled people, a lot of the time we think that our feelings are the leading of the Holy Spirit. They are not. I mean, feelings are great, but you can't be led by your feelings. You need to realize that God, by His Holy Spirit, will put a knowing down in your heart that you know that God has spoken to you. It's not just a feeling or a thought. But we got to stay humble before the Lord. You know, I want to say again, Moses, the Bible says he was the meekest man, the most humble man in all the earth. And yet, he spoke to God face to face as a man with his friend. So stay humble. Listen, the fact that God speaks to you is never a prideful thing, but it's a humbling thing that Almighty God in His grace would speak to me. Is there ever a time when the Lord doesn't speak to us? There are some times. There are some seasons, especially in regard to maybe certain questions we have. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would just answer all your questions? You think it would, but He knows what's best. And it might be better if we let Him steer the conversation instead of us. But when you read about the great man Job in the Bible, He had some questions. He wanted God to answer him. And for a long time, all he got was silence. But Job trusted him through the silence. He still trusted God. And you see, sometimes when you got questions and you just want to hear God right now, no, it's not the next thing that pops in your head. Sometimes in the silence, you just have to trust him. And in the right way, in the right time, he'll speak to you. As he finally did speak to Job. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't all what Job wanted to hear. Job said, I spoke of things too wonderful for me to know. You see, we just need to trust God. Even when we don't hear anything, just keep trusting him, looking to him. And he'll speak to you. He'll show you. But he speaks. Stand with me. We're going to pray, and I want our prayer partners to come.